been talking about dealing with, and tonight we're going to talk about hurt feelings. Anybody ever had your feelings hurt? That's a dumb question. Everybody here has had their feelings hurt. But Scripture tells us that we're going to have those kind of times. But Scripture also tells us how to get through those times. And if we listen tonight, we're going to be able to deal with the next situation. What's interesting about this is, as I teach these things, you get to visit those in the next coming days. So, because that's the way it works. I get to visit them before, and then you get to visit them afterwards. The Scripture we've been starting out with, 1 Peter 5:8, in the New Living Translation, says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." His whole purpose, folks, is to deceive you. That's the only thing the Scripture says he is. Now, if the Scripture says he's a deceiver, he must be pretty good at it. He has no authority over your life, none at all, none, except for what you give him. But he has no authority because he's been stripped of that authority. But he is a deceiver, and he's been allowed to be a deceiver. I don't know why God's allowed him to do that, but God is. God's in charge. And that gives us that free will. But see, when we allow him to get into our lives, then he can deceive us to say that God's not real, Jesus is not real, he doesn't do what his word says, he's not what his word says, but he is. He's a God of peace. He's a God that takes care of us. And it's so awesome to know that when I get my feelings hurt, he doesn't have a right to do anything with it. Part of the problem is that we let our feelings get hurt. Listen to, you're all just kind of just staring at me tonight. Some of you are nodding already. Don't do that on me. Wake up. If you can't stay awake, stand up. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived in what the enemy's trying to do in your life. Come to the place of recognizing he's got us. See, God desires for us to live in peace. From the time you wake up in the morning until you go to bed at night, God wants us to live in a peace like nobody can give us, only him. And there's scripture in that. But he gives us a peace that when you get the revelation that he's got you, you can live no matter what's going on, no matter who's doing what, no matter what people say, no matter what people think, you can live in that peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." His peace. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you want to recognize the Scripture says that it's not your peace. See, I used to live in a realm when everything was going good, that I had peace. When all the bills were paid, when everything was working like it was supposed to work, when everybody was doing like I wanted them to do, then it didn't last long. Because I found that being in control was an illusion. You're never in control. So if I'm going to live in a state of peace, I can't depend on myself. I can't depend on you. I can't depend on my wife. I can't depend on anybody, and neither can you. And if you think the person sitting next to you is going to keep you happy, those that are married in the place, guaranteed they're not. That's not the way it's supposed to work. He's the only one that makes you happy. The rest of this is just benefits. The rest of this is just blessings. And we've got to learn, no matter how crazy life gets, God is our peace. Because he give us his peace. Then it goes on and says, "Let your heart not be troubled, neither be afraid." So when things are going the wrong way, well, and we're talking about hurt feelings is our main point tonight. When someone hurts you, when someone says something about you, when someone purposely comes against you, when someone purposely plans things around about so you get hurt, we've got to know how to deal with that, because he says there's going to be trouble, but then he finishes up by saying, don't be afraid of that. Don't walk in fear of what's going to happen in life. Don't come to that place in your life where you're, can I say it this way? Don't be led by your emotions. Because if you're led by your emotions, you are going to be a mess. Our emotions are great to have, but if someone hurts you, you are following your emotion. You are following your mind, your will, and your emotion. You are following what you think. You're following what you've been taught. You're following what you've seen. You're following those things that aren't really you. What we're supposed to be following is who you are in here, what your spirit man says. And we've got to recognize that he's got your number and he gives us the peace. But then he says, don't be afraid. Just walk in my peace no matter what goes on in your life. No matter, Jen King, for example. I mean, now she's got a diagnosis now where if God doesn't intervene, she's not going to be here much longer. She's only 38 years old. To us, it's like, that's not right. It shouldn't be that way. Well, you're not God, neither am I. But see, we've got to come to the place in our life, no matter what is going on, we've got to go, we don't have to like it. I'm not saying that. And you can question why, but you're going to waste your time questioning why. Because if he doesn't tell you, you're not going to know. Our place is just say, okay, you've got this. I'm not going to live miserable the rest of my time. No matter how long we've got, I'm not choosing to be mad. I'm not choosing to be mad at you. I'm not choosing to allow this to hurt me. I'm not going to allow this to affect my day-to-day walk with you. Everybody here, listen. Everybody here has stuff that comes up in your life. Everybody does. And I know it seems like we talk about this a lot, but it's the main battle that we have. It's what's right here between our ears. If I can keep my mind straight, I went through a time today for about 2 hours where I was like, oh, I just went, I left the church, went home at 2:00. I'm leaving. I don't feel good. My mind was going places. It was just nuts. I couldn't concentrate. Well, I just thought, I'm not battling this. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to lean back in my chair. I'm going to get my puppy dog in my lap, and I'm just going to shut things down. The devil is not having this. We have to learn how, and everybody here fights it differently. We've got to learn that when we know we're at that place where things don't feel right and we're losing our peace is not in trying to battle it. Our peace is knowing he's got it. Our peace has come to that place of recognizing, I can't handle this anymore. And nothing serious, it's just we can be totally in peace, and then all of a sudden the enemy comes along and we are just like, what's going on? Well, if you entertain that very long, it'll have you. It'll bring you to that place where you don't want to be. See, we've got to come to that place of recognizing we have to pursue peace. The Bible tells us this. I got it wrote down, Romans 14:19. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and all things by which... I'm going to be squeaking all night if I don't get done here. Let us pursue the things which make for peace. That means every one of you and myself, my goal should be always looking for that peace. And when I get to the place in my life where there is no peace, then I got to know where my peace is at. And I got to know, I got to come to that place saying, okay, I can't seem to pull this in, but I know you've got this, and I know you're going to walk me through this, and my best thing is to keep in touch with you and not my surroundings and my circumstances. Marriages would be so much better if everybody would just quit trying to control and have what they want. Instead, peace comes, folks. Listen, peace comes when you give it to him and you do what you're designed to do, to be a servant to the other person. See, so many times we lose our peace because we're not happy with our spouse, or we're not happy with the way people are around us, or we're not happy how things are going. You are just trying to control the surroundings. You will never control them. God wants your peace to be him and you serving to get the peace. See, if you get your mind off of you and you put your mind on serving anybody and everybody, then you'll be focusing on helping them live a better life. Husbands and wives, your design is to help your mate be the best thing they can be, not for you to be the best thing. There's not a man here that's worth a hoot without a woman. The woman makes the man. The woman makes the man. No matter how squirrely you think your wife is, why? Because they're more designed to do this, because they're motherhood. They're designed to serve. But see, we as men have to do the same thing. And men, you will not have peace if you're just living for you. It won't happen because you don't have control. But see, we've got to recognize our place is to pursue that peace in the midst of our chaos. Our place is, all right, what do I need to do? Now, I'm one that doesn't, I don't like clutter. Drives me crazy. So what's the best thing I can do at home? Put things away. That's pursuing peace. Well, what if it's my wife that's crazy? Pursue peace with your wife. Pray, give God her. Speak to her. Speak good things about her. Don't cut her down. Don't criticize. Don't not talk to her so her mind's going crazy. Just pursue peace means you do what it takes to make her happy. You do what it takes to make him happy. At your work site, I just don't like my job. I just can't handle my job. Who are you thinking about? You're hired to do a job. Put your mind into doing the best. I told my boss when I got a revelation of this way back when I was working at the mines, I told Ray, his name was Ray, I said, Ray, my job is to make you the best boss that's out here. I thought he was going to roll over when I said it. Because they don't, what do you mean? I said, I'm hired to work for you, and I'm hired to do what you want me to do. So whatever you need me to do, I'll do. I learned that through Bill Gothard, that there's principles in the Bible. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It says in the Word. So when I switched that, it was amazing how I went from all the bosses were crazy in my mind to recognizing they're just people just like me and you. And my job is to make them a better boss. Not be a boss, make them a better boss. See, that brought peace to my life. I just went, and I would have jobs sometimes that nobody else would even do because he knew I would do them. But it was okay because the job needed to be done, and he knew I would do them. So I ended up having more favor with them because I recognized my job was to do whatever they wanted me to do. And when I didn't do, then I was miserable. We're talking about hurt feelings, but we're talking about peace. Now listen, in the case of hurt feelings, think about it. You took the offense. Because see, you're the one, everybody here, if someone says something to hurt you, guess who decided to be hurt? We did. We chose to take what was said. We chose to take the action or whatever happened around us. We chose to be the one to receive that. See, it wasn't something for you to receive. It's something you chose to receive. And I'm trying to help you tonight. When someone says something about you, you can take it or you can just let it go. Well, no, I'm telling you how it is because that's what the Word says you can do. If your wife says something that you don't like, you can receive it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Now you got it. Now you've been offended. Now you've been hurt. Why did you take it? Well, they had no right. Who said they didn't have a right? Who knows who set this up? You don't know that they weren't influenced by the Holy Spirit to say what they said, to see what you would do. God uses everything, folks. Everything that goes on. God will use everybody around you. He's not going to use somebody you don't know. If somebody come in here that you had no idea and they just start ripping on this church, you wouldn't take offense to that. You'd just tell them to get out. But if your friend said something to hurt you, real easy to take offense to that. Real easy. But you can't. You've got to recognize you can't be. You know what the word offended means in the Bible? The Greek word is scandalous. Literally means to put a snare or to cause one to stumble. So if you take an offense, if someone says something to hurt you, and boy, I tell you, you can be hurt bad, and they're only by words. Anybody notice that? If you take the offense, you have took the snare. You have took the trap. You have took the bait. You have chose to take it. I'll never forget one time I had a shirt that I used to wear, and a man said, "That looks like pajamas to me." And I took that just for a little while. And I wouldn't wear that shirt again. Now, isn't that stupid? I was offended by what he said. I was controlled by what he said. Because, see, by what he said, I'm not wearing that shirt no more. Everybody will think I'm wearing my pajamas to church. Isn't that stupid? Peer pressure. Hey, folks, teenagers and kids, people, adults, all of us, we always have this going on. But we've got to be our own self when it comes to all this stuff. And we've got to not let everybody else dictate our life. Because, see, when you get offended, you are allowing them to control your life, because what you're doing is you are walking in unforgiveness for what they said. And when you walk in unforgiveness for what they said, you are now under control of the person that offended you. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is or what it is. If you allow them, if you're mad at them, I'm mad, I'm not talking, guess who's in control? Whether they meant to or not, you have took the offense, and now you are carrying that offense to the place where you are now in a snare, and you've got yourself caught, and there's not a thing you can do. See, we've got to learn to guard ourselves. We've got to come to that place of recognizing that we've got to take these things, and we've got to lay these things aside. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 12:1, lay aside those things that'll put a snare in your life. Lay aside those things that I got hurt. Can I ask again real quick? How many's been hurt? See, we don't have to be hurt. Yes, you can have the thought, but it's what you do with it. Are you gonna stick your hand in? Let's set a mouse trap. You know what the mouse trap can do. Are you gonna stick your finger on the cheese? Nobody here would do that. I mean, if you are, we need to pray for you. You got problems. Purposely hurting yourself. See, that's what we're doing when we allow someone to hurt us and we take it. Everybody's going to hurt everybody. We do it all the time. It's just the way it is. That's why we have a Savior. That's why we have mature Christians that forgive each other and walk without being hurt and recognize they said it, they might have even meant it, but I'm not taking that. I'm choosing to forgive and let them go. I'm choosing to move on. See, I've got to learn to guard my heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Well, how does it do that? It takes control of you. Because when you get hurt, you've just went, "All right, I'm not wearing that shirt again." Without saying it. Your head. I'm mad at my husband. Guess who is in control? The one that you don't like. Folks, the Bible says that if we walk in unforgiveness, we become that. I've seen it with my dad. There was times in my dad's life that he wasn't the sweet old dad that he was when you've seen around here. And he was a major control freak. But I can remember him doing things that would upset me. And I guess not knowing, I just carried that through my life. And then I caught myself doing the exact same thing to my three boys. I mean, it was like when I did it, it was like, boom, I seen the same thing. Why? Well, then later on in life, when I started studying the Word, I found out that everything that I walked in unforgiveness towards, I'm going to become, and I was. Well, why is that? That's because, let's take a hurt. I've been hurt. I'll never forgive them. Because we've said that, in our past have said that. I'll always remember that. You received that. Now you're controlled by that. Whether you like it or not, you've got that. And then all of a sudden, because you're carrying this, you get hurt easier now, and you grab that one. Now that's got you controlled. Where pretty soon, you've got all these things that have got your life bound up, and you don't know, you're mad at everybody, when in fact, it's your fault. Elbert Willis, many of you don't even remember Elbert Willis, but he was a man that come here every year, and he would always, it's your fault. But he would always bring that finger around because it wasn't their fault. It's your fault. Because you chose to let them make you mad. Well, I've just got a bad temper. You're choosing to have the bad temper. Because it's not going your way. I know nobody wants to hear this, but I'm trying to help you. Because see, we don't have to let hurt feelings carry us. I mean, it does not. We have to let things go. Go, pull your Bibles out. I'm going to pull out my New Living Translation. Pull your Bibles out to Matthew 18. Or I don't know if they're going to have it on the board or not, but I want to walk through this. And everybody knows this set of, well, not everybody knows this set of scriptures, but a very common set of scriptures to teach out of. Matthew 18, verse 21. I'm in my New Living, and so everything's a little foreign to me in this one. 21. This is a parable for unforgiving debtor, and you all know that one. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?" He's asking the Lord. You know, when this person's bugging me, and they just keep offending me, they just keep hurting me, how many times am I going to have to forgive them? Seven times? His response was amazing. I can't imagine what Peter thought when he said it. No, not seven. He goes on, he says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Why? Because he knew what it would do to you. It's not the knucklehead that's hurting you that gets hurt. It's you. He knows what's going to happen because he even goes on in the illustration. I want to read it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to the king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had owed money from him, had borrowed money from him. Bear with me. In the process, one of his debtors was brought to in whom owed him $1 million. New Living Translation. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But then the man fell down before his master and began to beg him, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him from his and forgave him his debt. $1 million. He said, okay, just... I forgive you of that. Well, see, we've got to do the same thing when someone hurts you. When you get your feelings hurt, it's just as powerful as the money here. Just as bad for your life. If you say, well, I want it this way and I want it that way, and if they don't do it this way and they don't do it that way, I'm going to be mad at them. Well, you're the one that's mad. You're the one that's miserable. You're the one that passes it on to other people. You're the one that's a mess. And this guy knew this. He owes me $1 million, but it's not worth the headache for me. It's not worth trying to get it. It's not worth trying to get my. You're done. I feel sorry for you because you got yourself in a mess. But look what happens. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. In comparison, folks, he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servants fell down before him and begged for a little more time. He said, "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his credit wouldn't wait. The creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some other servants saw this and was very upset, they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man. he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgive you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on a fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid the entire debt. Did you hear that? He got tortured. When you allow a hurt to fester, that hurt is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. See, if we don't drop, and you got to start little with little things. If you don't drop these offenses, if you don't just let them go, that offense will start festering inside you and fester inside you. And the smallest thing that will drive you nuts will pretty soon be so big that you will start walking in unforgiveness. You're already there. You will allow it to be bitterness get in your life, and then your whole life will turn around. And you will live in a place where there is no peace whatsoever in your life. You will be mad at the world, all because you allowed that hurt. But you say, "But they hurt me." Is it worth it? You're going to get hurt. We're in a crazy world. You're going to have people just walk off. I mean, I can't tell you through the 30 years, the number of people who have come to this church, got fed, got loved, got cared for, and not even say goodbye. I had to deal with that. So when I seen this in the scripture, it was like, okay. See, same with you. You've got people that have walked off. You've got people that have not said nothing to you. They're not your responsibility. That's God's. Because what can you do? Connie and I, through our walk, she has told me more than once through conversations of other people having problems with husband and wife and stuff. And it's like, But I want him to love me. And Connie would say, "If the dude don't love you, why are you wanting him? Just let it go. It'll drive you crazy. Just let God have it. Just let it go." I mean, if I would say, "Connie, I don't want you," she'd go, "Okay." Because she's learned to forgive and let it go. And see, it's like, "Well, I want control, and I want this, and I want that, and I want you to be this way to me, and I want," especially young married people, it's like if the wife or the husband doesn't perform like they want things to be performed throughout the household, that you're going to be mad at them, and you're going to be aggravated at them because you want what you want. Well, folks, all you're doing is trying to control, and all you're doing is taking an offense, and all you're doing is... Actually, when you study these scriptures, what that says in there is you get put on a table that your feet are tied and your hands are tied, and they stretch you and you're tortured. That's the kind of torture this was talking about. And that's what we do to ourselves. We let a little offense, we let a little hurt. You say, "Well, Pastor, you're not telling me how to take care of it." Yes, I am. Let it go. Don't take the offense. Come to that place of recognizing that if you walk with that feeling, it's going to hurt you. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no," listen to this, in the New Living Translation, which, folks, it's fun to read in this because it's more way we talk. "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." Well, now, where'd the bitterness come from? Taking the offense when somebody hurt me. And it grew up, and I didn't affect just me, it affected everybody around me. I love to be around people that everything's just always good no matter what's going on. See, that's how we're all supposed to be. I bring up Jerry Seavers' name so often because that's the way Jerry Seavers, she lives in Christopher, used to be in her church until they moved. It didn't matter what was going on in her life. She's just happy. Matter of fact, she don't call her grandkids grandkids. She calls them blessings. grand blessings, she calls them. My grand blessings. That's because everything's good, no matter what's bad. And see, what we do is, if things aren't going our way in life, we tend to take offense to that, or we get hurt by that because we think it should be another way. And when in fact, you got to take... I always tell people that are dating, like these two are dating, I always tell them, whatever his problem is, whatever your problem is, magnify that by 10, 15, or 20 if you get married. So learn to forgive early, because you're going to have it. And if it's a mixed marriage, which so much of it is now, then you're going to have all their kids' headaches and all your kids' headaches. And then it starts, and unforgiveness starts. And then you start saying, your kids, and your kids, and my kids, and my kids. And then it just keeps dividing to where, as much as you was in love here, you'll be apart here because you took the offense. We don't have to be mad at nobody. I'm not getting, Jay, they're all just looking at me tonight like I'm not talking to nobody. Did you hear me? We don't have to. Well, yeah, but you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. I mean, you see those kind of things in people that really stand strong in that forgiveness. I remember years ago, a man come in a Amish community and went to their school and shot all the kids. And the Amish community, they said, we forgive him. Well, he's going to get justice. But they chose automatically because they learned there to forgive. We've got to do that. We are coming in a time where it's not a gray area anymore, folks. You're either for Christ or you're against him. I mean, there's really no anymore. All you got to do is listen to the news. You're either for Christ or you're against him. And everybody over here is starting to get bold and starting to say their peace because they recognize, if I don't be me, I'm not going to have peace here. I'm not going to take offense to what they said, but they can't take offense to what I said. So that's what's happening now. So they're getting more graphic and we're getting more graphic, but I know who wins. But see, if you can't forgive your wife, if you can't forgive your husband, if you can't forgive your boss, if you can't forgive your friend that lives across the street, if you can't forgive them and you start carrying that, it will eat your lunch and you'll be on the torture table. You are the one that's going to suffer in your marriage. You are the one that's going to suffer. Instead of having fun. If you're married here, you should be having fun. Why are you married? Why would you want to stay in the house with someone you don't like? Didn't you used to like them? You know why you don't anymore? Am I getting too personal? You know why you don't anymore? It's because you don't have control. You loved them before. Why don't you go back to what you loved and quit picking on things? They did those same things. Let them grow in the Lord. Pay attention. Maybe they've changed. Because see, if we get the word in us, you're going to change. And let's just let God have us and watch us grow and watch us change. But learn just, I'm not taking offense to that. It can happen every day of your life. Probably does. And if you choose to take it, you'll take it home with you. And what we do is we're at work and the boss or somebody said something and you got mad. Well, then you went home and now you grabbed it. I'm mad. And you act like you're not mad to everybody else, but you still got it. And then you get home, and now you're throwing up on your wife or your family about that person. Now the next time they see that person, they're going to look at them differently because you just threw up everything that's your opinion about that person, when in fact that person just didn't do it like you wanted it to be done. Are you listening to me? It's the truth, but it's so easy to solve. Just serve the other person. That's all you have to do. It's just serve the other person. Quit thinking about you. There'll be someone to serve you. You just serve the other person. You just when they say things about you, you just love them more. When they do something you don't like, you just like them more. You say, well, that's totally stupid. That's stupid to the world, but it's the right way. Our president, if he would just learn to talk right, he would have a better go. But we just pray, and God is changing because we're seeing it. All you got to do is watch him. There's changes going on, but he makes his own problems just like we do. He takes offense because somebody talked about him, and then he talks about them. Well, they're just an idiot. Well, you can't do that because you're holding it. You can only hold so much of that stuff. And then pretty soon you're going to explode. You do the same thing. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying I can tell you what's going to happen. Well, he's a strong man. You can't keep taking the offenses. You can't do it. You can't do it. You will die a miserable old hoot. You've got to learn to go, nah, I love you. Man, I love you. I don't care what you say. I love you, man. I love you, man. I love you. How do we deal with, how do you deal with it when you've been hurt? Just let it go. Give it to God. Just make it a ongoing, steady, constant. He says to pray without ceasing. Well, that's just a good thing to pray about. Lord, I give you that person. Every time that person comes up in thought or deed or anything, Lord, you got them. Bless them, Lord. You know what's interesting too? All those people that hurt you, they're all going to be in heaven with you. Do you think that when you get in heaven, you're going to have any ought against anybody? We might as well let it go now. Why be offended at the person that you want to have fun with? Learn to put up with their craziness. Learn to get the good out of what's there. Enjoy what God's doing. Let God have you. See, we got to come to that place of walking in our part to it. Ephesians 4, I'm going to close here. My throat's starting to get hot as fire. Ephesians 4, everybody knows this set of scripture. I have quoted this so many times. 4:29, I love this set of scriptures. I haven't read the New Living. It says, don't use foul and abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You mean I can't talk about nobody? Not according to that one scripture. I've got to say, you know, I think it says in your regular translation, impart grace. Whatever you say, impart grace. Well, what's grace? Grace is something that they don't deserve. You say, well, that person hurt me. Well, then grace is giving them what they don't deserve. But they hurt me. But grace is giving them what they don't deserve. That's what Christ has done for you. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil doers. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Let everything go. Come to the place in your life where He has got the whole package, folks. Someone hurts you, just immediately just let it. See, if someone hurts you, the only way that's going to follow you is if you keep thinking about it. Because if they hurt me and I just purpose to go, okay, God, you got that. Thank you for taking care of this. Lord, I choose to let you help me forgive that person. Now, let it go. When it comes up, you just said, no, I've already forgiven. Let that go. See, instead, we take it, and now we're going to carry it. And we're going to talk to everybody we can about it because we are right. We are in control. I don't care if it's your pet. You get mad at your wife, and you're going to tell the pet about it. I wish she'd straighten up. You got it. You got to get rid of it. Because it'll drive you crazy if you carry it. You just carry it and you think that's going to solve it. But all you do is you're spending time thinking about it. You're spending time thinking about it. You're going over it. And pretty soon it becomes bigger than it was. And pretty soon it becomes bigger than it was. And pretty soon now we're at a place where I can't stand you anymore when all it was that little bitty thing that you chose. It's not their fault you're divorcing. It's your fault. Don't get mad at me. It's just the truth. According to scriptures, we come to that place of recognizing we got to let things go and only speak good. John 1:16 says, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. So no matter what goes on in my life, I have got the grace to give to someone that hurts me. They don't deserve it. That's exactly why it's grace. They hurt me. That's exactly why you're supposed to say, it's okay, I forgive you, I let it go. Bottom line, folks, we've got to just fall back in his arms on a constant basis. Psalms 34, I'm going to read this and my throat's going to close and you all can visit. Psalm 34, boy, different rolling around this Bible. Psalm 34, 17 through 19. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. So awesome. Listen to that. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. Every time. How do we deal with hurt feelings? Every time you get hurt and you feel it. I mean, it's an emotion. It's there. You got hurt. You got to just go, okay, I'm not going to receive this. God, you've got this. I choose to let this go. I choose to forgive this. I will not carry this any farther. I'm done. That's how you live in peace. That's how you trust what God's doing in your life. You say, what if this goes on and goes on? I think it says to forgive them 70 times 7. I promise you, if you forgive someone 70 times 7, you will learn how to forgive them. That's every time something happens. That's every time it happens, you just let it go. Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you that your word gives us the answer to every situation, every circumstance that goes on in our life. And we thank you, Father, that you've designed this to make our relationships better and better and better. And when we bump into situations and circumstances with people that we love, we thank you that you have given us a way out. Father, maybe they're not mature enough to handle it, but we're going to be. And we're going to choose not to take the offense and let you have them. And vice versa, when we make mistakes, Father, we ask that you would allow them people to forgive us for our shortcomings. Thank you that as we give grace, they're going to give grace to us. As you have given us grace, Father, for the everyday of our walk, we thank you that we're going to take that same grace and we're going to impart grace to those that we feel don't deserve it, but yet we know that's the way it works. Grace to grace, Father, and we thank you for it. We trust in you, Father, in every relationship, every situation, every circumstance, Father. When hurt comes our way, we're going to learn to just let that hurt drop and trust in you for the outcome. We know that it's going to be good because that is the way you've got it designed. In Jesus' name, amen. Call you blessed. You're dismissed. You got 10 minutes to visit before the kids come running out.